1 Samuel 23 and Psalm 63. So if you'll turn in your Bibles there right now. If you don't have a Bible, grab the Pew Bible there in front of you and feel free to use that. Now, if you came in and you did not receive one of these, lift your hand up. Our ushers will be glad to give you one right now. Okay, right now. Psalm 63 and 1 Samuel 23. Put your bookmarker in Psalm 63 because we're going to go there in a moment. We're going to begin in 1 Samuel 23. I've been going through the book. You know, there are times in your life when you figuratively feel like you're on the mountaintop. Man, you just can't wait to get up in the morning. Everything's going great. Everything seems to be going so well. But then to use another analogy, there are other times when we feel as if we're in the wilderness. We kind of feel like we're out there in the woods. We're lost. We don't know where to turn. All we can see is trees, you know. And there's times we feel like that. Well, in our text before us, David is literally, physically in the wilderness. As the chapter opens up, King Saul is still on his manhunt to kill David. He's jealous of David. David has been anointed to be the new king. Saul is still there. And so Saul wants to eliminate David and eliminate the threat, you know, and the possibility of David taking the throne. So he's trying to kill David. He's chasing him around. David is, remember, he's King Saul's son-in-law. He married Saul's daughter. This gives a whole new meaning to in-law trouble. Amen, church? And David is fleeing through the wilderness, being hunted like a wild animal. Look down at verse number 14. It says, "And David abode in the wilderness in strongholds and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand. And David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a wood." David had been anointed to be the new king of Israel. But, you know, here we are, he's out in the wilderness, you know. And you think, man, that guy's going to be the next king. I mean, it'd be like saying that the laundry boy for an NFL team, you're going to be the next superstar of the team, man. You know, I'm the laundry boy. What are you talking about? And here he is out in the wilderness, running around like a hunted animal, and yet he's been anointed to be the king. Way back in chapter 16, he's anointed to be the new king. Well, you say, why is that? Well, God was not going to allow David to just kind of prance up to the throne of Israel. David was going to be tested to see what kind of spiritual character that he really possessed. This right here is a what? An orange. That's right. That's a Florida orange right there. In fact, there's a sticker on here. It says there, what is it? Made in China. What? No, I'm just kidding. It's not like everything else you own, all right? That Florida orange, you know, got this Florida orange. You know what? If I was to peel that rascal and squeeze it, what would come out? Yeah. What's inside it's going to come out. You squeeze that thing, and orange juice, we hope, right, would come out. Well, you know, sometimes you feel like life kind of has you in its pressure grip and is peeling you and squeezing you. Well, guess what? When you're in the wilderness and you're being peeled and squeezed, what's in you is going to come out. What's in your heart is going to come out. The wilderness has a way of bringing out what's really in us. You know, when things are going great, it's kind of easy to worship God and sing praises and thank Him and, you know, get up in the morning and pray and read the Bible. But man, when we're out there in the wilderness, we've been peeled and squeezed, you know, then what's inside is really going to come out. And David here, he's being peeled and squeezed. Now, Saul, he's another story. If you were to peel and squeeze Saul, King Saul, rattlesnake venom would come out. I mean, this guy's filled with the spirit of Satan. And he's chasing David around, wants to destroy him. Well, the Apostle Paul said the same devil that filled Saul with that rage and that fury and that anger, he's our enemy today, see? The devil. He wants to wage warfare against you, the believer. He wants to discourage you and destroy you during the wilderness times of your life. How do we survive the wilderness? How do we get through those trials, those tribulations? Now, David got through it. How did he do it? Well, you know, it's interesting. He wrote Psalm 63 while he was in the wilderness here of Judah. He wrote Psalm 63 probably during this chapter, 1 Samuel 23. He wrote Psalm 63. A lot of the Psalms are songs that David wrote. They're his meditations of his heart, and he would write them like a journal, and he's writing down all these things. And that's the book of Psalms. A lot of them, anyway, are that way. Many of them are prophetic, but a lot of them are just stuff David wrote down when he was going through a trial. And David wrote Psalm 63 when he was going through this trial. So when we take 1 Samuel 23 and we take Psalm 63 and we put them together, we see how David made it through the wilderness. Number one in your handout. Number one, when you're going through the wilderness, if you want to survive, stay in close communion with the Lord. Stay in close communion with the Lord. Go over to Psalm 63 and keep your bookmarker now in 1 Samuel 23. Psalm 63, verse 1. O God, he writes out here in the... picture him now. He's living in a cave, or he's out here in this, you know, out in the wilderness. And all of a sudden, David sits down and he writes, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. He writes in verse 8, my soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. And you know, that's exactly what we see David doing. If you flip back to 1 Samuel 23, we just see him seeking God. Look at 1 Samuel 23. Keep your bookmarker in Psalm now, because we're going to go back and forth. But look at 1 Samuel 23, verse 1. It says, remember, he's out in the wilderness now. It says, then they told David, saying, behold, the Philistines, that's the enemies of Israel, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they rob the threshing floors. Now look up here. Keilah was a city in southern Israel, and it was about 18 miles southwest of Jerusalem. We don't know how he got word, but somehow they get word to David that the Philistines, the enemies of God and of Israel, they have come and they've besieged this city of Keilah. Verse 2, it says, therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and smite these Philistines? And the Lord said unto David, go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah. Look down at verse number 4, because some of his men that were with David brought up some resistance. They didn't want to do it. Look at verse 4. It says, then David inquired of the Lord yet again. And the Lord answered him and said, arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand. David inquires of the Lord twice. Well, what did we read in Psalm 63? He said, that my soul thirsts for thee. I long for you. I'm seeking you. Early will I seek you. My soul's following after you. And that's exactly what we see here. We see David getting confronted with a situation, and immediately he inquires of the Lord. He takes it to God. Now, you know, this word inquire is a word that we're used to. It means to request. It means to ask counsel. The other day, I was going through, yesterday, I was going down Bevel Road, and there's a mortgage company or something there, a bank, I'm not sure what it is. And it said on the sign out front, it gave some interest rates and different things. And then it said, inquire inside. Inquire. It means to request. It means to ask counsel. And we see David here, he goes and inquires of the Lord. Now, listen, folks, one of the most difficult things you'll ever do is to seek God diligently when you're in the wilderness of adverse circumstances, but yet it's the most important thing that you will ever do. I want you to know now, I know it's tough to pray when you're down. Can I get a witness to that? Amen? I mean, it is. It's tough to pray when you're down. It's tough to pray when you're discouraged. It's tough to pray when you're despondent. But yet the Lord is our lifeline. He's our source of wisdom. He's our source of discernment. You know, we can tend to make some very bad emotion-based decisions when we're in the wilderness. Do you know God never designed for you to operate on the basis of your feelings? Your feelings are just what they are. They're your feelings. And your feelings can lead you astray. Your feelings can definitely lie to you. God does not want you to live your life on the basis of your emotions and your feelings. Emotions are fine. They're God-given. I mean, we have the ability to express emotions and cry and laugh and feel joy and all these things. And that's certainly a wonderful thing. But God never expected you to base your life on your feelings, because they're like this, man. They're up and down, you know. You can look at the exact same situation, you know, one day, and then the next day you got a completely different feeling about it. That's how feelings are. They're like this, you know. There's a lot of people that live their life in emotional tyranny. I mean, they live their life based on their feelings, and God never intended for you to do that. He wants you to base your life on something far more reliable than your feelings. You know, just to kind of illustrate this thing of operating on the basis of your feelings, one day I was out visiting children in Jacksonville, and me and a buddy, and we had a bus route. We'd go and pick up kids on Sunday morning on the bus and bring them to church. Well, on Saturday, we'd go by to see if they were home and to see if they were coming, so we'd know to bring the bus by. And so this particular Saturday, we go to visit this family, and I'm up on the porch there visiting them, and there looking me square in the eyeball is a pit bull dog. Well, that pit bull, I'm telling you right now, he was eyeballing me from head to toe. And I try not to look at him, hoping that he'd start eyeing my friend, you know. And so I'd kind of look the other way like this, and I'd kind of cut off my peripheral vision like that, and there he's still looking at me. He's just staring at me. And he was looking at me with that look like, I haven't had lunch yet. Gonna have me a preacher pork chop for lunch. That kind of look, you know. Well, you see, my emotions, my feelings said, he's just a dog. Just a dog. Pat him on the head and show him you're friendly. That's what my feelings told me. Now, my mind and my intellect said something different. My mind and my intellect said, you do that and you're dead meat. You know? Well, I followed my feelings. And you know what? I reached out to pet that dog and he attacked me and that thing bit my arm and I went running off screaming and yelling with my tail between my legs, you know, and licking my wounds and I was bleeding and everything else, you know? And it's a dangerous thing to operate on the basis of your feelings. God never intended for you to do that. David didn't want to do that. David didn't want to just operate on the basis of his feelings. So what did he say? He said, God, early will I seek thee. You know, if you're going in the wilderness right now, my first question is, are you seeking him early? I mean, are you getting up and are you praying? Are you inquiring of him? Are you seeking God? You know, that's a great question. My soul thirsteth after thee. My flesh longeth for thee, he said. Can you say that? You know, in your handout it says, many times when we're in the wilderness, we run to all the wrong places for counsel. And we make bad decisions and then we compound our problems. David said, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to seek God. I'm going to inquire of the Lord. In your handout there, I got a passage that Paul wrote. He was in the wilderness. And he said, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed. Remember I talked about being squeezed like that orange? He said, we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in who? But in God which raiseth the dead. David knew that only the Lord could refresh his dry and thirsty soul. Are you going through the wilderness? Now is not the time to forsake your communion with the Lord. Now is the time to seek him more faithfully and more diligently than you ever have before. But there's a second thing we learn from David, and that is this. When you're going through the wilderness, number two, continue to do what is right. Continue to do what is right. David is in the wilderness and he gets word about the people there in Keilah. They're in trouble. Verse 2, therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and smite these Philistines? And the Lord said unto David, go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah. David's like probably thinking, man, I'm sorry I asked. You know, now what am I going to do? I mean, number one, I've only got a couple hundred renegades here with me. So number one, the Philistine army could kill me. And if they don't get me, I run the risk of having King Saul find out where I'm at if I come out of hiding to go help these people. And then he can come and he can kill me. So what's David going to do? Well, clearly the right thing to do was for David to go and help his brethren there at Keilah. That was the right thing to do because that's what God said he wanted him to do. David obeyed God's will. Notice the result. Look at verse 5. It says, so David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away their cattle and smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. Man, that amazes me right there. I mean, here's David. He's got his own set of problems. But yet he goes and he helps these people as God had instructed him to do. When you're in the wilderness and you're discouraged, man, I know it is easy to quit doing what you know is right. When you're in the wilderness, it's easy to get self-consumed. Satan puts thoughts in your mind like, well, you know what? God doesn't love you anymore. Like we sung about earlier, you know? God doesn't love you anymore. I mean, here you obey God, and look what it got you. Slap dab in the wilderness. Yeah, you obey God. Look what it got you. Nothing but problems. And Satan loves to discourage us. He loves to get us to question God. And Satan is a liar because when we quit obeying God, we do nothing but compound our problems. We dig the hole deeper and deeper. In your handout, it says it isn't right to obey God only when circumstances are good. It's right to obey God all the time. It's right to obey God all the time. Not just when things are good. All the time. It's right to obey God when things are not good. Look in your handout. Galatians 6:9. Paul said, and let us not be, say that phrase with me, weary in well-doing. Say that again. Weary in well-doing. Don't be that way. Don't get weary. For in due season we shall, say it, reap if we faint not. A few years ago, Denise and I went through a wilderness time. Denise had some health issues, and we couldn't figure out the problem. We didn't know what was wrong. And she was having all kinds of physical problems and emotional and mental problems. She thought she was dying. I mean, she really did. And we could not figure out what was going on. And there was a period there for about 6 months where I remember Sundays where I would just say to her, and many of you may not know this, but my wife's the lovely lady that's always sitting right here. And she's right here on the front row. And I remember Sundays where I would say, honey, just stay home. Just stay home. You don't feel good. No, I want to go. I want to go. I can feel bad at church as easy as I can feel bad at home. And I would watch her come Sunday after Sunday, sing in the choir, play the music, smile, help people. You'd never know anything was wrong with her. Teach her class. And go home and weep and cry because she didn't feel good. And I saw my wife Sunday after Sunday. That went on for probably, I don't know, 6 months at least until we finally figured out the problem and got her help and you know, got out of that. But that was a wilderness time. And she was such a testimony to me of just continuing to do what was right. David's in the wilderness. Look what he says. Go over to Psalm 63, and I want to show you what he says in the wilderness. He says here in Psalm 63, this really is special. Psalm 63, look down at verse number 4. Well, let's go to verse 3. He says, because thy God, he says, your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. He's out there in the wilderness. He's living in caves and rocks. And he lifts up his voice out there and he says, your loving kindness is better than life and I'm going to praise you. He says, I'm going to bless you while I live. I could die tomorrow. King Saul could find me. But I'm going to bless you while I live and I'm going to lift up my hands in thy name. David said, you know what? No matter what, I'm going to keep doing right. I'm going to keep doing right. Number 3, when you're in the wilderness, if you want to survive it, you're going to have to keep your eyes on the Lord, not people. Keep your eyes on the Lord, not people. I tell you one thing. You read this chapter. Poor old David. Poor old David. Man, if he was dependent on people to encourage him and pull him through this wilderness, man, he was in for a rough time. If he focused on people, man, he'd have had plenty of reason to give up. I mean, God says, go get them, tiger. Go get the Philistines. Look what his men say. Look at verse 3. I'm back in 1 Samuel now, 23. Look what his men say in verse 3. And David's men said unto him, behold, we be afraid here in Judah. We're scared to death now. How much more then if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines? His men are like, are you crazy? Yeah, we're scared to death now. We're but one step away from Saul finding us and killing the whole lot of us. And now you want to leave this great hiding place and you want to go help a bunch of people that we don't even know. Now, boy, isn't that an encouragement to David? Then, this one really takes the cake. He risks his neck. He goes down there to help these people. Look what happens in verse 7. And it was told Saul that David was come to Keilah. So old King Saul hears about it. And Saul said, God hath delivered him into mine hand, for he is shut in by entering into a town that had gates and bars. Man, I got him now. Cuckoo, I got him. Verse 8. And Saul called all the people together to war to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. He's in hot pursuit. Verse 9. And David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him. And he said to Abiathar the priest, bring hither the ephod. Then said David, O Lord God of Israel, thy servant hath certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me up into his hand? Will Saul come down as thy servant hath heard? O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. Yep, he's a-coming to get you. Verse 12, this is what takes the cake. Then said David, will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will deliver thee up. Wow. Here David goes to bat for these people. Here he saves their neck from the Philistines. Risks his own neck. He hears Saul is coming. Should I keep hiding out in the city here? Are the folks here going to rally behind me and ward off King Saul, God? Or are they going to deliver me up? God says, they're going to deliver you up, buddy. Well, that's great. That's gratitude. Hey, David, thanks for saving our neck, but when Saul gets here, we're going to give him to you. We're going to give you to Saul and let him chop your head off. Thanks, man. Appreciate you helping. I mean, man, you talk about discouraging. Of course, it didn't happen because David ended up fleeing Keilah and hiding out again. But this is what they were going to do, God said. Not only that, he flees to the wilderness of Ziph. And look what happens in verse 19. Then came up the Ziphites to Saul, to Gibeah, saying, doth not David hide himself with us in strongholds in the wood, in the hill of Hakilah, which is in the south of Jeshimon? Now therefore, O king, come down according to all the desire of thy soul to come down, and our part shall be to deliver him into the king's hand. I mean, these guys, the people of Ziph, oh man, if it wasn't for David, Goliath and the Philistines would have overrun them. They'd have been slaves or killed. But now they hear that David is hiding in their neck of the woods, so to speak. And so, they could have just kept their mouth shut and said nothing and stayed neutral. Oh, no, they go running to King Saul. King Saul, David's down here. Come on down, we'll give him to you. I mean, poor David. He just can't find a friend, can he? I mean, do you see what I mean about keeping your eyes on the Lord and not people? Amen? I mean, there's one bright spot in the whole chapter. And wouldn't you know who it is? Look at verse 15. And David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a wood. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand. And God, old Jonathan went and found him. And he said unto him, fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee. And that also Saul my father knoweth. And they two made a covenant before the Lord, and David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house. Good old Jonathan. Good old Jonathan comes out and says, David, I just want you to know something. I want you to know you are God's chosen one. You will be the next king, and I'm with you all the way, buddy. Let me tell you something. When our friends are going through the wilderness, we ought to want to be like Jonathan to them, amen? We ought to want to be a Jonathan to other people. He comes out and strengthens his hand in God. He comes out and reminds David of God's promises. But here's my point. When you look at people and you choose to focus on people, Man, it's a hit and miss proposition. They may encourage you, but then again, in your handout, it says people will what? They will let you down. People will let you down. You know what David wrote, though, when he was going through this and all these people were turning on him? Look at Psalm 63. Go back over there. Let me show you what David wrote out there in the wilderness. This is so good. Psalm 63. Look at verse number 5. In Psalm 63, 5, David writes in the wilderness, he tells God, "My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice." You know what he said right there? Hey, God, my soul is satisfied with you. You fully satisfy me. My heart's going to dwell on you. My heart meditates on you, God. And God, I'm going to keep my eyes on you. I'm not going to look at Saul. I'm not going to keep my eyes on the folks in Key Island, what they did to me. I'm not going to focus on the Ziphites and what they've done to me. I'm going to keep my eyes on you, God. If you're going to make it through the wilderness, you better keep your eyes on the Lord. Don't look to Pastor Dan. Don't look to those around you. You better keep your eyes on the Lord. There's a great passage there in your handout, and we don't have time to read it all now, but it talks about looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Can I give you the last point, church? If you're going to make it through the wilderness, number 4, make the Lord your wilderness stronghold. Make the Lord your wilderness stronghold. If you go back to 1 Samuel 23, David is fleeing from mountainous rock to mountainous rock, and he's going from one place to another. King Saul's hunting him out there in the wilderness of Ziph. Look down at verse 24, 1 Samuel 23, 24. Stay with me now. It says, "And they arose and went to Ziph before Saul, but David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon, in the plain on the south of Jeshimon. Saul also and his men went to seek him, and they told David, wherefore he came down into a rock and abode in the wilderness of Maon. And when Saul heard that, he pursued after David in the wilderness of Maon. And Saul went on this side of the mountain, and David and his men on that side of the mountain. And David made haste to get away for fear of Saul, for Saul and his men compassed David and his men round about to take him." I mean, Saul is just about ready to close in on him. And look how God providentially protected him. Verse 27, "But there came a messenger unto Saul, saying, Haste thee and come, for the Philistines have invaded the land. Wherefore Saul returned from pursuing after David and went against the Philistines." Verse 29, "And David went up from thence and dwelt in strongholds at En-Gedi." This chapter ends with David dwelling in strongholds. But do you know who David's true stronghold was? Go to Psalm 63. Let me show you. Psalm 63, this is what he writes. Psalm 63, verse 7 is what David writes. Verse 7, "Because thou hast been my help," he tells God. "Therefore in the shadows of thy wings will I rejoice." There's his stronghold. "My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me." Whew. David was trusting in the Lord. You know what the right hand of God is in the Bible? It's a symbol of God's power. He says, "Man, I'm resting under your wings. Your right hand is what upholds me, God. I'm resting in you. You're my stronghold." God Almighty was his stronghold. Church, listen to me. Listen to me, church. When you're going through the wilderness, you need a stronghold that won't change and it won't crumble. You need a stronghold that will not change and will not crumble. If I said to you, "You know, I think I want a platform to preach from this morning. That looks like a good one. I think I'll use that cardboard box, and I think I'll stand on that and preach." Think that'll work? Let me tell you something. And you know something? There's a lot of people trying to stand on things in their life that are going to do nothing but crumble. Some folks, when they're out there in the wilderness, they're going to turn to the bottle or drugs, illicit sex, nightclubs, bars, and they think that's going to be a stronghold for them. But it's not. It's just going to crumble. It's just going to fall apart. And you know something else? When you try to stand on all those things, you know what you do? All you do is you compound your problems. You make them worse. You say, Pastor Dan, what do? You turn to a stronghold that will never fail, and that's Jesus Christ and the Word of God. In your handout, it says, that's a stronghold that will never fail. It'll never fail. You keep your eyes on the Lord, make your stronghold the Lord, you stay in close communion with Him, and continue to do what He would have you to do. Let's go to God in prayer right now. With our heads bowed and with our eyes closed. Maybe you're here this morning and you're in the wilderness. This message was just for you. Take it to heart, let it change your life. Take it to heart, let it change your life. With our heads bowed and with our eyes closed, if you're here today and maybe you're not even sure that you're saved, you're not sure you're a child of God, you're not sure that if you died today you go to heaven, we can help you with that. As soon as we stand here in a moment, you come. We'll take the Bible and show you how you can know that you're going to heaven. Know that you're a child of God. Know that you're at peace with God. If you're here today and you're not sure you're saved, you're not sure that your sins are forgiven, as soon as we stand, you come. Let us take the Bible and let us show you how you can know that for sure. With our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, if you're a Christian, and this message has spoke to you, you're in the wilderness, why don't you take it and apply what we learned from David this morning? Let's stand to our feet.